Open.
Outspoken.
It's Ophthalmology Off the Grid.
An honest look at controversial topics in the field. I'm Blake Williamson.
I'm Gary Wirtz.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Ophthalmology Off the Grid. In this episode, Matt Jensen joins Drs. Blake Williamson and Gary Wirtz to wrap up a year of episodes dedicated to building a business and brand in ophthalmology. Thanks for listening. Support for this podcast comes from Bryn Mawr Communications. BMC produces a number of informative podcast series spanning a variety of topics in ophthalmology. Discover a new show at itube.net/podcasts.
All right, and we finally have made it. It is the season finale of the 2023 edition of Ophthalmology Off the Grid. Gary, what are your thoughts about this whole season? We've interviewed some pretty amazing people talking about building business, building brand, not about IOLs, not about lasers, but really business. It was cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, if you want content like that, you can. If you want ophthalmology content, go listen to Ben LaHood. There's probably no one better and more entertaining about the actual content of ophthalmology than Ben. If you want entertainment and you want to learn about the peripheral topics, not central to the actual practice of ophthalmology, that's why you listen to us, right? No, just all kidding aside, this season for me has been an extension of all the other seasons in the fact that I like to ask questions of people who are smarter than me in areas that I need to expand my knowledge on. And this year, just as my practice has grown, Blake, as your practice has grown, I think it has fit really nicely and it's been very timely for both of us to learn from people we look up to so much, people we respect. And I mean, what better way to learn than to literally sit at the feet of the people that you look up to and respect and just ask them how they do it? What are your secrets? What did you learn? How could you have done it better? You know, I mean, to me, this is, you know, the thing I missed when I stepped away from the podcast was not having that ability to have direct one-on-one learning from people I consider mentors and people I look up to. So for me, this season has been amazing. It started with Jim Lowden. We had so many of our friends. I mean, I don't want to miss anybody, so I won't name anybody else, but we've had so many friends that have been on, and we're bookending it with Matt Jensen, who Matt, you know, we're not blowing smoke here when we say this, you know, I don't think there's anybody we could have ended this season with that we look up to more or just personally enjoy talking to. So with that being said, Matt, welcome to the podcast. How the heck are you, man?
Well, I'm really good. I really appreciate you guys inviting me to be on. And it's always a little shot in the arm feeling like you're part of the cool kid club when I get to be on a podcast with you guys. So, and I always learn a lot by listening to what you're talking about too. You know, I just want to clarify your comment. I mean, ophthalmology off the grid is every bit about ophthalmology, every bit as much about ophthalmology as the others, Gary. But I also think that what this does is it talks about some of the human decision-making, you know, the personal development, some of the parts that people don't get in their MBA, they don't get in their fellowship or their medical training. And I applaud you guys for, I mean, this has been going on a few years. So clearly you've struck a nerve.
Well, I mean, I guess as long as they'll keep letting us record, it doesn't cost that much. I don't think Blake to do it. So I guess it's low risk for them.
I get a new red Corvette delivered every year. You're not getting that, Gary?
I might need to renegotiate my contract with BMC.
No. Matt can probably help you with that.
That's right, Matt. Matt, why don't you just give everybody, give us an update on your current situation, what you're doing, what your day-to-day looks like. I think we all kind of know that you have helped build Vance Thompson Vision along with a big team, but I mean, that has been like a huge project. Just give us an update on what your current day-to-day is as things have sort of evolved.
Yeah. So as of January 1 of 2023, this year that we're just kind of finishing, I ended my formal career as the CEO of Vance Thompson Vision, where I had been for 19 and three quarters years. And you know, we started out, I was employee number 13, and they're, you know, just shy of 500 now. Those pronouns I'm going to use interchangeably, just because I'm still so proud to be called a part of that team, and it'll just forever be such a big part of my temperament and my identity professionally. But you know, since then, I had the good fortune to have good leadership and good friends in the business along the way, in the doctors at Vance Thompson Vision, and I've had a consulting arm, a marketing team, for the last 16 years. You know, 5 years into that time there, I started to market for other practices, and it was really a nice symbiotic relationship, because while we would deploy the things that we knew worked in our own markets and deploy them nationally with other sites, we would find different snags that might give us a new way of thinking about it back in our own markets for Vance Thompson Vision. And so we kind of had come up with our version of machine learning before machines. The marketing machine would go out and try things in other markets, and we would bring some of the best things back to our own practice and team by way of culture or just, you know, calls to action. And that's primarily what I'm working on now, is really just working with our marketing team, the business I've had on the side for so long. But also, you know, I've ventured into a few other ventures that are parallel, but not exactly right in the marketing and agency space, with training, staff training, you know, team culture and development, and then also with, frankly, just lead fulfillment. And we can get into some of those things, but, you know, it's all been on the shoulders of what I've been allowed to do at Vance Thompson Vision. And simply because those folks were so great and had such a good experience there, because that was a world-class experience, you know, I can have world-class opportunities now too.
So take us back 15, 16 years ago. So you know, you hear a lot of MDs who are doing consulting on the side, weekends and stuff like that. You don't hear a lot of CEOs or admins, you know, working in other businesses. Whenever you approach that, you know, did your partners over there, the doctors, were they totally cool with that? And how did it evolve? And did it just reach a tipping point where you were so busy or successful with that, that that's why you decided to go full time? Or walk me through that process.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things in that question, Blake, that are worth talking about. First of all, you know, Vance and I worked together before the formal relationship. So I was at a local kind of best in the region marketing company, regular agency, when he was first running his very first ads. So we're talking, you know, late 1999 and into 2000. And so astigmatism, you know, clinical trials were just done. People were really hitting the market. And if you remember back in those days, if you can remember grade school, that's just a shot. You know, there wasn't a lot of healthcare marketing at the time, and it was kind of passe. And he and I were learning together how you properly invade people's living rooms in a way where you don't feel like it still stands up to the pride that we have in the medical field. And it's not just another off-the-shelf product that's expendable and can be commoditized. You know, so fast forward, you know, a couple of years, he had been working on me to leave that agency and run his program. He closed every meeting like that. And if you hear him give the talk, you know, he talks about trying to wear me down for about 18 months. And it was a little bit longer. And it was in part because I loved what I was doing. You know, you get in and out of a lot of businesses. It's, for me, I like to joke around and that it's ADD friendly. You know, you find that one thing applies to this business, and what do you know? It applies to this business too. And you start to create a business acumen pretty quickly that's sharp. Well, you know, after a while, if you know Vance Thompson, I mean, he's just very hard to say no to. And I mean, he's an amazing surgeon, but he's an even better human being. And one of my very best friends, and he finally got me, you know, to say yes. And we started building, and we were part of a health system at the time, and we were growing really quickly. And after some of the leadership at that health system saw some of our successes, some of them took some opportunities to try to recruit me over into their world. And Vance, like a good big brother, said, you know, if you wanted to stay in regular marketing, you probably could have stayed where you were at. But my guess is you wanted to do something different. And so if I were you, I would start something on the side so you can make a little bit so you can kind of scratch that itch, but also so it's not so tempting every time somebody wants to take a swing at you career-wise. And first of all, what an important character sketch right in that moment to trust that by letting me run, he'd keep me loyal long-term. And I think that alone, I mean, we could have a whole podcast series just on that because it really, it led to just a ton of loyalty from me over the years. And you're right. It could be a distraction. While we were small and dainty at Vance Thompson Vision, you know, my marketing company was small and dainty, and you could kind of hold them both in the cup of your hand, and they were adorable little companies. And as we started to grow and add providers, I found that it was really difficult to spin both plates. And so I had to create an opportunity with some advisors to, you know, put some leaders in place. So who can sit at the helm of the marketing company, Matt Jensen Marketing, and who can sit at the helm of the day-to-day operations, and how do I treat the marketing company almost like it's just another department that serves not only the clients, but also it's the agency of record for all of Vance Thompson Vision. So it's handy, you know, to have your own little propaganda machine for your own business. And
right.
And it led to a lot of fun because we could do fun things, you know, but you're right. It wasn't without tension. And every time we were going through a growth spurt, I had to really wrestle between where am I best spending my time and what do we do when we drop the ball? Because we always do. And how do you answer the question of, was his eye on the ball? You know, were we doing it, or is because we have other things going on? And over time, we got better and better at those conversations. But it wasn't perfect or seamless. But when you're partnered with good people, it's really easy to build, you know, an environment for that kind of free association and safety in business.
So Matt, I just want to like kind of walk through a little bit of the growth of Vance Thompson Vision while you were there. So you said you were employee number 13. Now there's over 500. Will you just walk us through the inflection points at where your growth started to become exponential? I guess Vance was operating at a hospital perhaps, or some sort of health system when you were there. And eventually they built a business and then a fellowship. And now there's Vance Thompson Vision that is sort of like spread out throughout the kind of the Midwest through the Northwest almost.
Yeah.
What was, you know, can you talk about that? Because that's not without risk, and that growth could be really scary to a lot of people. So, you know, we're talking about building your business and your brand. Can you just talk about what it was like to have those conversations about growing and then expanding and having this hockey stick of overhead, but also amazing doctors and opportunities, and what that was like?
Well, I think there was a couple of inflection points, Gary. And so the first one was as we were growing, you know, Vance is such an electric personality that people would come from all over industry and practices to see what it was that was so special about our team culture. And, you know, I came to know pretty quickly that Vance's specialness was going to be hard to scale. You know, the individual heroic efforts of someone are impressive, but if you're trying to wrap an entire business offering around it, it stops with as far as that person can reach. And so as we were growing, we were finding it becoming more and more difficult to make things standard. Now, when we were all in one spot, it was easier, right? Because you just, you know, you lean back, you open your door, you tell everybody how it's going to be by yelling down the hallway. You know, you teach by the doing. But we knew that we were going to have to grow a little bit more and differently if we were going to preserve that culture. Now, about that same time, you know, as Vance and I are talking about this, you know, I challenged him by saying, listen, we've got something special, but I'm worried about what happens beyond you. How are we going to grow this thing beyond just you? Because you're not a rate limiting factor, but you're just the one guy.
You're human with limits.
Yeah, we better go find some young talent. And within that, you know, I remember very clearly we were in the I was getting my badge for an Askers, and I was in the Moscone Center, and I walked up behind a college friend of mine, Dr. John Birdall. We both went to the same college. One of us got really good grades, and I'm not going to tell you which one. and And we hugged and we caught up, and I asked him what he was doing, and he was just finishing his residency and was getting ready to head off to fellowship. And I thought to myself, wait a second. If he's anything like he was just a few years ago, he's going to be a titan in this field. And from that moment on, and through, you know, the reinforcement of a lot of other people, because a lot of folks wanted him on their team. Vance, you know, and I were able to recruit him to Sioux Falls to help join our practice. And that was a real inflection point. The recognition of knowing that we needed to grow beyond just Vance, and the opportunity to do that with Birdall. And early on, and maybe even still to some degree, I think the vision of what it's become was really amongst the three of us. And John and Vance, you know, Vance to dream big without constraints, John to put a little bit of scaffolding to it, and then those two to go into surgery, and me to follow the marching orders and you know, brick and mortar it. That was really how we ran for a long time. And a couple of years after John joined, we decided to leave the health system and build our own thing. We swung hard at that. Did a really good job. I remember walking in, it was the end of March in 2013. And we were walking in, and I mentioned to the doctors, listen, we got to keep our numbers below 50 because all kinds of, you know, HR constraints happen when you go over 50. And we laugh about that now because it's so, you know, we're so far past that. But that was a real inflection point, is when we added John, then when we added the building, which is its own kind of process. Finally, we had facilities that matched the dream of what we thought we looked like. I'll circle back to that in a minute. But the second one was when we started our fellowship program. And we had no idea at the time that that would be a lightning strike like it was. And it really just changed the trajectory of our organization. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's easy to do it like Vance Thompson Vision. If we were private equity, we would too. You know, we've never been private equity, and those models will, you know, see how they prove themselves over time. But we did ask ourselves, what would we do differently if we were funded? And then asked ourselves if we could do that ourselves. And you know, I don't want to drone on and on, but I mean, the fellowship program is happening about the same time as private equity is beginning in our industry. And we found, after spending a year with somebody and having them believe in our culture, and we're test driving them, and we're in the OR with them, and they're coming to all of our parties. And, you know, Mike Greenwood was one of our very, very first ones. And he came to us over the holidays. It was this time of year. And he said, you guys, I've got, you know, 4 or 5 months left. I've been to a lot of different places across the country that are recruiting me. And I don't want to do it any differently than this. And our response to him was basically, well, where do you want to go? and that was what happened the next year with Dr. Swan in Montana, and the next year with Dr. Bartman in Omaha. And so I wish I could tell you that there was some great strategic plan regionally for us to recruit doctors to a place. But what we did is we followed our guts on a strategic plan on individuals and people we loved. And frankly, because we know them and trust them and can send them a no look pass, they could have opened up anywhere and we'd be, you know, solid.
Yeah. Blake, I mean, we always like to sidebar. So this is just Blake and I talking here. I mean, think about that swing, right? Like, you just went from a hospital to building this like insane facility, which honestly, I think stands alone in ophthalmology potentially as one of the most unique and beautiful facilities. But you know, that's a lot of overhead. And then you've got this fellow who's like, hey, I want to go out to where'd Greeny end up at? He's out.
Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo.
Yeah. So he's in North Dakota. Are you thinking to yourself, I don't know, man, that's a lot of overhead. You know, what if things don't go, like, how are we going to do all this? Like, what is your thought on this? If you're in that situation, like taking that swing.
Well, I know what it costs to build a building, you know, somewhere, not that building in particular, but that you know, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so when you're personally responsible for that, you know, it's a big, big swing, and you got to be set up perfectly for it. We're in the process of growing right now to a different market altogether. And anytime I get kind of worried about it. I'm like, well, gosh, that what I'm talking about is just down the road. Technically, they did it in different states. Like, surely there's a way to do that without, you know, but also have your balance sheet and everything be strong. Like, we want it to be healthy. And so we're struggling with that right now. It's something I may call Matt about to learn how he did it. But then you have these young guys that you just trained and like, yeah, well, while you're in the middle of paying off this note, we'd like you to build a practice for us over there in Fargo. You're like,
yeah, it sounds great. Where do I sign? I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, that's the thing about this. You know, I'd be worried
you're growing too fast. Are you growing too fast? That's what I'd be worried about. You
I
know?
Mean,
yeah.
So I'm, and for everyone who's listening, if you're a younger ophthalmologist or an older ophthalmologist, it doesn't really matter. There is this shift that happens, and I'm right squarely in the middle of this shift. Okay. And the shift is, when you're young, you look at your older partners and you think, they're loaded. They've got it all together. Like, why don't they just, and then just fill in the blank. Why don't they just magically build another building? Why don't they just build another ASC? Why don't they just expand, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So like at the beginning of your career, you're sort of like thinking, well, like, money is no object. And then you go through the machinations of actually like buying in and building. And then it's like, you're the owner and you start thinking about things a little differently. You start thinking about like, do I want to put $1 million or $2 million into, or $5 million into this project? And you're thinking, oh, I'm actually like responsible for that. And if the market tanks, like, that's on me now. And so you start thinking differently about why your partner maybe asked you to do something that was a little bit more cost effective or wanted a multiple that was maybe a little bit more than you thought. Because now as the owner, you're starting to think about it like that. So it's really interesting, Matt, that you guys, you know, were willing to take a swing on all that. And honestly, I don't know if it could have worked out any better. I don't know all the ins and outs of things, but I mean, on paper, or at least from outside looking in, I mean, you've got incredible facilities. You've got incredible surgeons. You've got this crazy, like, best in class network. But I'm just saying, man, that took some major guts to do that. And nothing against those people. It has nothing against them because they're fantastic. Anyone would want to invest in those people. So it's not a slam on them. It's just, there is variability in markets and there is the black box of like unknown. And you just don't know what's going to happen. And you guys had some major guts to take that swing. So any commentary on that? Like, were you thinking about these, having these internal conversations?
Well, you know, absolutely. And so there were some things that really affected decision-making, right? We learned early on, we can't go into a state that has certificate of need. Like, when we go in, we absolutely have to be able to have our hands on a surgery center, and it's recognized or this isn't going to work. And because we needed every opportunity to have access to future revenues. Number two, we absolutely have to have a premium IOL minded practice. Okay. And so, you know, everything falls apart when adoption falls below a certain threshold. And we believe in our hearts that people in Philadelphia don't fundamentally want to see worse than people in Seattle, that when given proper education, reasonable options in pricing and reasonable ways to pay for it, that when given all of that, they will probably convert at about the similar rate. The variable isn't so much what people desire. It's in our ability to communicate that value. Okay. And so, and then everything else, we feel like we can line up. Real estate is always going to be a relatively okay investment. Okay. So we weren't too intimidated by that. We can always liquidate. Okay. Betting on an aging population category is going to be a pretty good investment. So we started to check off the things that we thought would be constraints. And then lastly, can we replicate the culture that makes it attractive in the first place? We know we can go into any market and communicate. You know, we've got a marketing company, but can we get the team to follow up on that? And what we found is, especially for the small team, the culture, the way we deliver care, and the way people enjoy coming to work, especially with small teams, that spreads like wildfire. And so when you go into the marketplace or go talk to referring doctors and they send their patients through and the patients come back and say, I don't know what it is about that place, but it's electric. And I send everybody, it works. And I think especially in healthcare where that is so absent right now. I mean, almost worse than airlines is the traditional healthcare experience right now. And we just have to do better. And the good news is the people who call Vance Thompson Vision their home, they do better. And that becomes its own marketing effort too. But you're right. It carries a lot of risk. And there was a lot of nights where I just wonder, boy, man, I hope we're right. Every market we went to, we talked to the providers who were there first to see if they wanted to do a partnership or, you know, we can do any kind of joint ventures. And to a market, they all said it won't work. There's already too many docs here. Right.
The optometrists, you're talking to other ophthalmologists.
Correct.
Seeing if they would be willing to have some sort of strategic.
I know, like we don't want to come in here and take people's lunch money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And while that's it feels very like us to have that conversation. And we were surprised every single time that everybody was very much, there's no room for growth here. You know, there's no new way of thinking here. And within a couple of years, we have a large part of that market share. And so a different approach is definitely welcome.
Matt, it's called Matt Jensen Marketing, but I imagine a lot of it's Matt Jensen Management too. If there's someone listening to this that wants to, who's sitting there thinking, you know, I'd like to start my own thing. I'm getting very busy where I'm at, or maybe I'm in a small mom and pop and I'm about to become the managing partner and I want to go from one to two or from two to three, or maybe I want to buy a surgery center. Is that services that you guys provide as well? Can you walk them through that, or is it more strictly marketing piece?
Yeah. So we do that, Blake. And I think it's a good question. There's really four categories and I like to do them in this order. First is operations. Day-to-day operations. That has to be all synced up before you can do anything externally. Are you answering your phones? Are you following up on your leads? Number two is the customer experience and the team experience. So within your four walls, if someone actually does come in and you get them through the phone call and they come in for their appointment, what's it like? Is the trash coming out of the, you know, over the top of the bin? Are your magazines fresh? How's your literature? How are you explaining things? Number three, how are you communicating with alums and referrals? Kind of our word of mouth category. I mean, you both have thousands and thousands and thousands of happy people who every time your ad comes on say, that's where I went. Now imagine if they saw that ad and there was almost, and they already knew it was coming, right? Because you treated them like an insider. Hey, just so you know, in a couple of weeks, you're going to see this coming out. It's a new offering. And we know as a happy customer, you'd want to hear this first. Help us spread the word. Then and only then do we go to that fourth category of paid external, you know, advertising and marketing. And, you know, there's a mentor of mine that says, and I believe it, that advertising is the tax you pay for being unremarkable in those first three categories. So yeah, we do that fourth one, but we actually annoy a lot of people because they call us and they want the ads. And we don't feel comfortable doing that until we know they're going to pick up the phone and all of that. Because, you know, listen, this is why ad agency gets a bad rap. Because they'll put something up in lights. The phone may or may not ring. They've got no ability to fulfill. And 5 months later, you know, I was sold a bill of goods. Well, we know frontline businesses. We know how short-staffed people are, how overworked they are, how if they can, we'll cut corners just to get to the things that we deem more important. And that's
not all those things add up. All those things add up to a lower penetrance or, you know, lower LASIK numbers, lower premium IOL conversions, et cetera.
Or at least my marketing doesn't work.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So in short, Blake, you know, yeah, we do that. And prefer to do that first.
And what else? I mean, so we got about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes here. I mean, is there just kind of walk me through this year? I mean, what went right? What went wrong? What haven't we talked about with MJM that people need to know?
Well, here's the part that we haven't talked about that I think is so important. And you guys, I feel like you guys are friends and you know me well, but, and you said, wow, this is a big swing. Some of these things that we were doing at Vance Thompson Vision, looking back, there was those inflection points that made us really successful and an incredible team culture. What I didn't pay attention to was how much of a chunk it was taken out of my hide. With my own ability to just slow down and know where my real identity comes from, where am I getting my tank filled back up, and am I rebuilding my own supply line for leadership. I was doing a lot of it, you know, not myself. We have a great team, but I needed a lot more executive support than I knew. You know, we didn't have a CFO at the time. We didn't have a COO at the time. We didn't have a head of HR at the time. And since we've, you know, during my last year there, we built out those three roles. And frankly, I think that if we would have done that much earlier, I might still be there. I mean, that's hard to say because I'm kind of a Providence guy. I think things happen for a good reason. But I think we needed that support structure sooner than we had it. I don't have any regrets about the decision that I made, but I do think that we could have even grown better, more healthily, if we would have had that structure in place. And isn't that just like us to do all the work outside and not reinvest in ourselves? And so I think that there's a lesson in there somewhere, Blake, for like the doctors who are really just thumping the street. They're just working hard. They're subscribing to the GSD daily, you know, mentality of getting stuff done. Yeah. And listen, I'm impressed by that. But your own individual, again, back to Vance early on, your own heroic efforts will only take you so far. And when you're fatigued, you know, how do you back that up? I credit Vance and the doctors with having the vision to invest in me, you know, because then when they turned around, they would have somebody who would represent them as themselves to go get the stuff done. As we grew, we probably should have added more to that. But there's a bunch in there, right? Pay attention to yourself and your own health. Invest in people who can help take that stuff off your plate and make your dream real. And you're going to have to invest in it. You know, I wasn't cheap. I'm not cheap now. But speaking of that,
Matt, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you if they wanted to reach out? I'm sure people are going to listen to this and think, that is exactly what I need. I need some Matt Jensen in my life. How would people get in touch with you? How do they find you?
Well, there's a couple of places. One, MattJensenMarketing.com. It has just a collection of what our team does. I also have my own personal site, Matt-Jensen.com. And that one is a good place to go to if you want more information, because it's there's a thing on there, a little test that we've created called the GPA, you know, a practice assessment. It measures your own culture, your own disciplines and things like that. And then when we talk, we'll have something to talk about. You'll get the results right away, but it's a nice first step in us getting to know each other.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I mean, I knew some of the story, but it's always good to kind of like, I mean, Blake, I feel like I've been talking to the Wizard of Oz, you know, I got to peek behind the curtain and figure out what's going on.
You guys, that went fast. It's so funny. I mean, I feel like there's so much more we can talk
know.
About.
I absolutely.
I feel like we just sat down at the restaurant. The drinks just came, you know, now.
I know. Exactly. We're just getting into the meat things, but Matt, thank you so much. Blake, I'm so happy that we chose this topic. Any parting thoughts on the year, on what you've learned, on how it's impacted you and your practice?
Yeah, I think that the impact on me is just bumping into friends and people, frankly, people I don't know at meetings and coming up to me and saying, man, I heard this, and this. You know, I heard Tom Tuma say this. Or I heard, I didn't even know who Marnix Hirsink was. And wow, well, I looked him up. Oh, my God. And so it's just been great that we've been able to sort of illuminate that. And business is so important. We don't get it in training. And so that's what's such a huge topic. And we're going to have to put our heads together and come up with a topic for next year, next season.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to top it, buddy, but I've loved this year with you, and you're the man.
Well, if anyone out there listening has thoughts for future episodes, you can hit us on Twitter, which I guess is technically X right now. My handle is @CataractMD. Tweet me if you have any ideas. We're in the process of figuring out the new season. So stay tuned. Until next time, have a happy holiday season, a good new year, and we'll catch you on the flip side. This has been Ophthalmology Off the Grid with Dr. Gary Wirtz and Blake Williamson. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Ophthalmology Off the Grid. And thank you to our guest, Matt Jensen, for sharing his experiences with us. Until next time, and Happy New Year!